Chapter 15 Continued. Harry was sitting with Ron and Hermione, removed from the centre of things, trying not to think about the next day, because every time he did, he had the horrible sensation that something very large was fighting to get out of his stomach. "You're going to be fine," Hermione told him, though she looked positively terrified.
"You've got a firebolt," said Ron.
"Yeah," said Harry, his stomach writhing. It came as a relief when Wood suddenly stood up and yelled, "Team, bed!" Harry slept badly. First, he dreamed that he had overslept, and that Wood was yelling, "Where were you? We had to use Neville instead!" Then he dreamed that Malfoy and the rest of the Slytherin team arrived for the match riding dragons. He was flying at breakneck speed, trying to avoid a spurt of flames from Malfoy's steed's mouth, when he realized he had forgotten his firebolt. He fell through the air and woke with a start. It was a few seconds before Harry remembered that the match hadn't taken place yet, that he was safe in bed, and that the Slytherin team definitely wouldn't be allowed to play on dragons. He was feeling very thirsty. As quietly as he could, he got out of his four-poster and went to pour himself some water from the silver jug beneath the window. The grounds were still and quiet. No breath of wind disturbed the treetops in the Forbidden Forest. The whomping willow was motionless and innocent-looking. It looked as though conditions for the match would be perfect. Harry set down his goblet and was about to turn back to his bed when something caught his eye. An animal of some kind was prowling across the silvery lawn. Harry dashed to his bedside table, snatched up his glasses and put them on, then hurried back to the window. It couldn't be the Grimm. Not now. Not right before the match. He peered out at the grounds again, and after a minute's frantic searching, spotted it. It was skirting the edge of the forest now. It wasn't the Grimm at all. It was a cat. Harry clutched the window ledge in relief as he recognized the bottle-brush tail. It was only Crookshanks. Or was it only Crookshanks? Harry squinted, pressing his nose flat against the glass. Crookshanks seemed to have come to a halt. Harry was sure he could see something else moving in the shadow of the trees, too. And next moment it had emerged, a gigantic, shaggy black dog moving stealthily across the lawn, Crookshanks trotting at its side. Harry stared. What did this mean? If Crookshanks could see the dog as well, how could it be an omen of Harry's death?
"Ron!" Harry hissed. "Ron, wake up!"
"Huh?
I need you to tell me if you can see something."
"It's all dark, Harry," Ron muttered thickly. "What are you on about?"
"Down here!"
Harry looked quickly back out of the window. Crookshanks and the dog had vanished. Harry climbed onto the windowsill to look right down into the shadows of the castle, but they weren't there.
Where had they gone?
A loud snore told him Ron had fallen asleep again. Harry and the rest of the Gryffindor team entered the Great Hall next day to enormous applause. Harry couldn't help grinning broadly as he saw that both the Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff tables were clapping them too. The Slytherin table hissed loudly as they passed. Harry noticed that Malfoy looked even paler than usual. Wood spent the whole of breakfast urging his team to eat, while touching nothing himself. Then he hurried them off to the pitch before anyone else had finished, so they could get an idea of the conditions. As they left the great hall, everyone applauded again.
"Good luck, Harry!"
called Cho Chang. Harry felt himself blushing.
"Okay, no wind to speak of. Sun's a bit bright. That could impair your vision. Watch out for it. Ground's fairly hard. Good. That'll give us a fast kick-off."
Wood paced the pitch, staring around with the team behind him. Finally, they saw the front doors of the castle open in the distance, and the rest of the school spill onto the lawn.
"Changing rooms," said Wood tersely.
None of them spoke as they changed into their scarlet robes. Harry wondered if they were feeling like he was, as though he'd eaten something extremely wriggly for breakfast. In what seemed like no time at all, Wood was saying,
"Okay, it's time. Let's go.
They walked out onto the pitch to a tidal wave of noise. Three-quarters of the crowd were wearing scarlet rosettes, waving scarlet flags with the Gryffindor lion upon them, or brandishing banners with slogans such as "Go, Gryffindor!" and "Lions for the Cup!" Behind the Slytherin goalposts, however, 200 people were wearing green. The silver serpent of Slytherin glittered on their flags, and Professor Snape sat in the very front row, wearing green like everyone else, and a very grim smile.
"And here are the Gryffindors!" yelled Lee Jordan, who was acting as commentator as usual. "Potter, Bell, Johnson, Spinett, Weasley, Weasley, and Wood. Widely acknowledged as the best side Hogwarts has seen in a good few years."
Lee's comments were drowned by a tide of boos from the Slytherin end.
"And here comes the Slytherin team, led by Captain Flint. He's made some changes in the lineup and seems to be going for size rather than skill."
More boos from the Slytherin crowd. Harry, however, thought Lee had a point. Malfoy was easily the smallest person on the Slytherin team. The rest of them were enormous.
"Captains, shake hands," said Madam Hooch.
Flint and Wood approached each other and grasped each other's hands very tightly. It looked as though each was trying to break the other's fingers.
"Mount your brooms," said Madam Hooch. "Three, two, one!"
The sound of her whistle was lost in the roar from the crowd as 14 brooms rose into the air. Harry felt his hair fly back off his forehead. His nerves left him in the thrill of the flight. He glanced around, saw Malfoy on his tail, and sped off in search of the Snitch.
"And it's Gryffindor in possession. Alicia Spinett of Gryffindor with the Quaffle, heading straight for the Slytherin goalpost. Looking good, Alicia. Ah, no! Quaffle intercepted by Warrington. Warrington of Slytherin tearing up the pitch. Wham! Nice bludger work there by George Weasley. Warrington drops the Quaffle. It's caught by Johnson. Gryffindor back in possession. Come on, Angelina! Nice swerve round Montague. Duck, Angelina, that's a bludger! She scores! 10-0 to Gryffindor!"
Angelina punched the air as she soared round the end of the pitch. The sea of scarlet below was screaming its delight.
"Ouch!"
Angelina was nearly thrown from her broom as Marcus Flint went smashing into her.
"Sorry," said Flint as the crowd below booed. "Sorry, didn't see her."
Next moment, Fred Weasley had chucked his beater's club at the back of Flint's head. Flint's nose smashed into the handle of his broom and began to bleed.
"That will do!" shrieked Madam Hooch, zooming between them. "Penalty to Gryffindor for an unprovoked attack on their chaser. Penalty to Slytherin for deliberate damage to their chaser." "Come off it, miss!" howled Fred.
But Madam Hooch blew her whistle, and Alicia flew forward to take the penalty.
"Come on, Alicia!" yelled Lee into the silence that had descended on the crowd. "Yes, she's beaten the keeper 20-0 to Gryffindor!"
Harry turned the firebolt sharply to watch Flint, still bleeding freely, fly forwards to take the Slytherin penalty. Wood was hovering in front of the Gryffindor goalposts, his jaw clenched.
"Course, Wood's a superb keeper,"
Lee Jordan told the crowd as Flint waited for Madam Hooch's whistle.
"Superb, very difficult to pass, very difficult indeed. Yes, I don't believe it! He's saved it!"
Relieved, Harry zoomed away, gazing around for the Snitch, but still making sure he caught every word of Lee's commentary. It was essential that he hold Malfoy off the Snitch until Gryffindor was more than 50 points up.